there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal? Weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, creepies. Welcome to episode 244. Nate is your tech engineer. We are your hosts, Sean and Todd, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. What's going on, Nate?
Not a whole lot.
You know what I have to say? I do love the fact that you are so thoughtful when you talk. Me, I just jump in like I'm like that idiot that, you know, do I know how to swim? I don't know, but I'm going to jump in the deep end.
Well,
now, I don't mean idiot, but how about that fast talker that's just always like ready to spar in a conversation without being fully loaded?
Yeah, I guess it's thoughtful because when you do ask me that, at that moment, I actually do think to myself in my head, what should I say?
Yeah. Right. Well, it's funny. The listeners can't see you, but I also see it in your face, in your eyes. You're like, but I appreciate that about you because I'm not that personality. Todd's a lot better too about just being able to like, you know, say what he means and say what he's, but
I've taken one of those like personality quizzes or whatever. And it like tells you how you function.
Yeah. You're the great calm. You're the sad, right?
I am the thinker. Like I don't react without fully thinking stuff through.
Yeah. The funny thing is I used to think it was a put down to for some, because I always thought, well, I'm a thinker. Well, yeah, I think. I'm a feeler. Yeah. I feel first and then I think. And which is funny because I've gotten better at like, going to the cerebral and that, you know, the very like brain portion. But I know that a lot of my conversation starts in the heart first. And now I don't see that as a bad thing.
Yeah.
I just see it as who I am, you know. But yeah, no, I appreciate that because I like that.
Yep.
So and we've already probably noticed that there's no Todd here tonight.
No Todd tonight.
Not feeling too good. He was going to try to make it, and we told him, awesome if you can make it, and if not, no big deal. So we want him to get better, feel better.
Yep.
Hasn't been sleeping well, yeah. And that's...
That wears on you.
It does.
Very badly. Yep.
I know.
Been there, done that.
Yeah.
CPAP corrected that.
You got a couple t-shirts for that, right? That's correct. I'm still on that. I'm like you. We've talked about this. Like our numbers say, hey, you're doing great. And you're like... I wish I felt as good as like, you know, like,
I can tell, even though, I mean, I still have bouts through the day of like, oh, I'm tired. I can just take a nap.
Yeah.
But like when I wake up, I wake up.
Yeah.
Even if it's only like 5 or 6 hours of sleep, when I wake up, I'm like, I'm up.
Yeah.
So it has made a difference.
I had a time, I think I've told you before, 4:20 in the morning. Mm-hmm. That's when I woke up. I was ready. I exercised. I prayed. I would write. I actually would, you know, like journal and do different things, do different writings. And that was my time because it was quiet. Nobody was up. And I was ready to go. And I do not feel that I normally have to be up for a solid half an hour at least to feel like, okay, I'm fully awake. So I feel like I've like almost reversed myself. I'm not quite the same person I used to be. That's partly aging. That's partly dying. Who knows? Whatever. As long as my sense of humor has gotten even more impeccable, right? But yeah, how's your week going?
It's going good. At a new job. It's
Here's that thinking again.
Yeah. I'm trying to choose the right
I know,
words.
Yeah. You're very wise.
It's a gym. Let's just put it that way. Mm-hmm. It's a gym. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a gym as in like a jewelry gym, like a, press. It's
diamond.
Yes.
In the rough. Very, very rough.
I thought you said it was like an old jail.
It is.
A gym. I like that.
So, yeah.
At least it's not a zoo.
No, not a zoo.
Well, good. So, yeah.
How's your week going?
Cold. So good though. I really can't complain. I've been staying busy. It's cold going in and out of homes. I find that putting on a coat is pointless, though. No longer than I'm out, even if I have to walk a little bit of ways, I normally just cover my head and I feel pretty good. But I have a coat if I need it, and I've got all the blankets and boots and all kind of stuff in case something happens. But I'm also putting my car to the test since it's new, the new Buick, right? It is, it's doing really well on the ice. The nice thing about my schedule is I don't have to jump right out on the, on the roads except to take the kids to school. But yeah, it's been good. So, and patients understand. I haven't really been late to anybody's home or anything, but you know, there people will actually, that's the cool thing about a lot of the patients is they really care. And they'll check on you and they make sure like, oh, you know, or hey, do we need to reschedule or whatever? And it's like, no, I'll be fine. Or they ask you how you're doing, how the roads are and all that kind of stuff. So that's kind of fun. You know?
Yeah, we got a shot of weather there Monday.
Yeah.
And we're downtown Indy and we had a birthday dinner in Avon. Which
Where did you say? Yeah, where were you guys at? You had to get from downtown to, where did you guys eat?
Opa.
Opa, that's right. It was the Greek restaurant, yeah.
Yep. And so normally on a standard trip from downtown, it'd probably take about 25 minutes. Mm-hmm. It took us 2 hours.
Yeah, that's crazy, isn't it? So everybody kept saying 6 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 6 o'clock. Even patients were like, you need to get, make sure you get home. My last patient was like, get home.
No, it started at 4 o'clock.
So for me, when I noticed it was really getting heavy was about 4:30.
Yeah.
So I'm heading down around the south side of 465, southwest side, and just getting on 465. And so it's a couple miles away from 70. Mm-hmm. From that spot to get Plainfield, 20 minutes, 25 minutes, you know, as long as traffic's not too bad. It took me just over an hour. Mm-hmm. And it started coming down buckets. Mm-hmm. And everything was slowing down. Now, I didn't see any accidents. I didn't see anybody doing stupid stuff. Everybody actually really, like, towed the line, went slow, followed each other, took good care. Mm-hmm. And so I really appreciate that because it got nasty real quick.
Real nasty. Well, it did that goofy, it was snow, but then with it being compressed on the streets and it was sticking to the streets, it turned to ice.
Yeah, real quick.
Real quick.
Did you see that one on I-70, the 50-car pileup? There are people in their cars that you could like drive along with them and see how awful it was. One guy was just like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And he was saying horrible, you know, bad words. But, you know, and he ended up getting around everybody, but you could see, like, just because you got out of people's way and didn't get in any kind of, like, damage, somebody might be coming right behind you and just slam into you. I can't imagine just sitting there like a, you know, or sitting like a sitting duck, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just waiting for...
Well, and you're out there at the semi-trucks, too.
Yeah, and they were just ramming into each other, jackknifing, running off. And I saw a humongous trailer that just, like, folded off the road. And it's like, that is just not the way to, and we haven't even started winter yet, right? I mean, but so it's tricky out there, right?
So, but yeah, I didn't have any issues. I was in the big Super Duty.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You stick to the road real nicely, right?
Oh, yeah. Lock the four wheel in and off I went.
What do you always say? The ice is the hockey thing. Ice is slippery. Mm-hmm. So watch out, people.
Oh, yeah.
Well, good. I'm glad everybody's safe. I hope everybody's safe out there. We've had a good week. I hope you guys are too. Since Todd's not here, we're going to skip the dad joke. We are going to go right to the first announcement. If I can talk English and speak English tonight, we're going to go to the first announcements, and those are going to be yours tonight, Nate.
Yeah. We come together. Try to.
Like birds of a feather.
Have guy time, have a good time, and talk some paranormal stuff, but none of this would mean anything if we didn't hand out these important numbers.
Mm-hmm.
If you have any mental distress or suicide thoughts, call or text 988 or text home to 741-741. And for any suicide prevention or mental distress or any other type of crisis you may be having in your personal life, or if you know someone that is experiencing any of those horrible things.
I still think that's one of the coolest parts.
Reach out to those numbers and or text, and get help.
Mm-hmm.
Go get you some.
Go get you some help, right?
It's important.
Don't live on an island. We say that all the time. Yeah. But it is, so you can get into such a dark place that you don't even have the drive or the desire or any, you know, the volition to be able to even call these numbers. Yeah, so that's why it's
you
nice
lose the
to
will to even try to do
somebody
it.
To say, like, I cannot, so, this person is in a hole. I don't know how to help him. How do I help? So that is, it's awesome that these are out here.
And I've never called them for that situation.
Or text.
But They may just tell you, hey, go be with that person, mm-hmm. get us on the line, hand them the phone.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that might be how they operate that. I don't know, but it seems like one avenue.
Well, these services are so needed right now. Mm-hmm. I won't get too personal, but there's some, and like I said, I don't want to, I don't know the people, but somebody through Jenna's work, one of her staff members committed suicide. And this recently, mm-hmm. and Jenna said, I don't know what else I could have done. She said, you know, this person was off and she knew that they were struggling. She said, I had no idea there was a suicide component to it. And so she didn't like, and nobody did.
Mm-hmm.
And she, and I told her, I said, you know, we always give out the numbers. And she said, I do too. She goes, every week I send out to my staff, like, don't take on more than you can physically and emotionally and mentally, and if you need something, hey, you know, here's these numbers, come talk to me or whatever. She said, I always keep my door open for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I told her, I said, honey, you know, there's nothing else you could have done. And she said, no, but she told me that. She said, she goes, I got to go and be with my staff. And I was like, no, I absolutely think you do. You should. And she's like, I don't know how long it's going to be. And I said, take all the time you need. And so she said, I just went, and she said, she called the chaplain in and had them come and, you know, just, she's, you know, hugs and tears and all that stuff. And
mm-hmm.
I just told her, I said, I can't even imagine, but it's so, you know, everywhere you look at it now, and I've had a couple patients this week of, you know, they just, I'm like, what's going on? You know, you're doing okay. You look like you're, you know, something's going on. You don't feel good. Or like, I'm just really depressed right now. And like, well, let's talk about that. And I'm spending part of my sessions just like, well, let's talk about that, you know? And then at the end, like, hey, you know, let's do a check-in. And hey, if you need me, text me, you know, don't be on an island or call your family or call your friends or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah, no problem. And like, well, I feel better just talking about it. Awesome. Let's, that's
a lot
a great
of times
place to
that's,
start.
That's the big thing mm-hmm. is get it in the airwaves.
Yeah.
Talk about it, be vocal about it. And more than not, whoever you're talking to is receptive to that. If they're not, then they're not the right person to be talking to.
Well, yeah.
But, you know, I mean, just getting it off your chest, that gives you so much relief. Like, you're not burdened with all those thoughts and how you're feeling by yourself. Someone else knows now.
Well, and that's the thing. So I was talking to a lady, and she's dealing with a really difficult situation with her husband and his medical care and his, you know, he's got dementia, I'll be honest. It's mm-hmm. just a really rough form of dementia. And we've been seeing her for a while, and I'm basically discharging her and a lot of part and in him, but a big part of the care is her and mm-hmm. how she has to handle it. And we went and I spent a solid hour with her, and it was a lot of like kind of defensiveness and all these kind of things, and which I understand completely, and that she's just really, she just was really wrapped up in, oh my gosh, how am I going to be able to do this? And about halfway through, I really, really dove deep into, this is a holistic approach, body, mind, spirit. You know, you've got to take good care of yourself. And there was just something softened in her eyes. And like, whatever it is I said and whatever I shared with her and what we just kept talking about, it just, the conversation finally went very much about the mental and the spiritual and mm-hmm. take care of yourself. And I told her, I said, I told her, even if I'm not coming here anymore, or any of our other services, call our office. If you need us, call me. I said, call me, text me. I don't care. I said, 'cause you are in a place where, what are you going to do with him if you're not here anymore? 'Cause right now you're the one, and that's awesome that you're doing that. But what happens if you're not there anymore? You know, so mm-hmm. just remember to take good care of yourself. So it's in those situations where you're a caregiver, it can really wear on you physically so and mentally. But
well, you're taking the burden of your loved one on your shoulders.
Yeah. And so I've been
not
there.
Only are you taking care of yourself, you're taking care of them, and that's rough.
And I shared with her my own personal, you know, experience with watching my mom do that and trying mm-hmm. to be the support for her and knowing that she wasn't okay, but hey, we're doing the best we can and getting through it. And I explained to her, you know, there is going to be There's beauty in the breakdown, and then afterwards, you know, whatever happens, however long he lives, you know, when he does pass, there really is a feeling of relief that you did all you could. And I said, and there may be a point where you have to place this person or get some help in the home or whatever you have to do to support him and yourself. But it's just a lot. And I told her, I said, I could sit here and make it sound so easy and, oh, no problem. And I don't know what you're complaining about. I said, no, it's hard. And it is, it's going to feel impossible some days. One thing I told her, I said, my mom did with my dad as long as she could. She tried to do some normal things with him. Watch a movie that they loved, you know, listen to an old radio show that they loved, something that he knew, you know, listen to somebody talk about the Vietnam War. The other thing is, or listen to old music. They danced together. And I said, I don't know. Did you guys ever like that? She's like, oh, he loved to dance. I said, why can't you still do that? He's very physically capable, just cognitively. She said, you know, there are some things with just click and like, oh my gosh, he realizes that. So there's just these little strategies of like, I go, and it will be a mental lift for you too. Like I said, he may not be able to come back the way he was, but get, you know, take what you can and get what you can. But anyway, so yeah. Oh, mental health is a big deal, right?
Yeah.
Boy, we really hit that home, didn't we?
Yeah.
All right. So the next is special announcements, and we don't have any right now, right? We will. 2026. I bet we're going to start having some, right?
Work on it.
Right. So this was Todd's tonight, so I will give him full credit. This is his topic. It is haunted test side. I'm going to say it looks like T side. It looks like T side, but it's test side, I believe. And it is in the UK. So I can say that with like an English accent, probably. And if interested, please check out our show notes for the source links we use for this topic.
Excellent.
I do have a foundation here, and it is
I was just going to say it was.
Oh, you got one?
No. Perfect. I was just going to say it's a town.
It is. Well, that's okay. I'm glad you said it that way, because this says, and I won't go into detail because it goes into all these different locations. Teesside in the UK is renowned for its collection of reportedly haunted locations, drawing interest from paranormal enthusiasts and tourists alike. Bada bing, bada boom.
Okay.
Because then it goes into all the different areas, right?
Well, I have this Teesside with its rich industrial past and historic towns. So it must be a region. Holds more than just memories of shipyards and steelworks. So it must have been a very industrial place.
That's what it looks like.
So
it's got some spooky stuff, though. That was cool. So
we're going to get into it.
Kudos to Todd, right?
Heck yeah. I've never heard of this place. So
I hadn't either.
Ooh. Has one of your favorite words in here.
Uh-oh. Tapestry?
Yes.
It's not H-A-T-E, right? Tapestry? Are you serious?
Yeah. It says...
I love tapestry.
Scattered across its landscapes are eerie tales of haunted buildings, ghostly figures, and strange occurrences.
Yeah.
These stories, passed down through generations, weave together the region's history and local folklore, creating a tapestry of Teesside's, or Teesside's, whatever, however you want to pronounce it. Ghostly side. So yeah, tapestry.
Yeah, and I didn't find, and I maybe we will in our discussion, but I was trying to look for, like you said, industrial area, looking for some of the history, but I think it's just kind of in each one of these little places that you find. But in, and there, people flock to it, you know, a lot of the paranormal investigators. So
heck yeah.
The first one that is one of the most frequently cited sites, right, is Gizbarro, I don't know how you say that. I'm going to try to do it too much with accents, and I'm going to make up some of these accents. Gizbarro Hall Hotel, a four-star country house hotel built in 1856, which has been listed among the UK's most haunted hotels, of course it has, due to its three resident ghosts. These, do you think they pay taxes since they're resident ghosts? These include an old lady seen kneeling at the foot of a bed in the old nursery, a ghostly figure appearing outside the main reception, and a butler believed to walk above the rose room. The butler did it, right?
Candlestick.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Clue.
Let's talk about the ghostly apparition of the Golden Smog.
Ooh.
Stockton on Tees. Is that how we're going to pronounce it? Tees or Tees?
Teesside? I don't know. I think you can say what. So I.
T-E-E-S.
I told you.
Tees.
I always look up videos of places, and I couldn't find good videos that really, you know, and they say it with such a thick accent.
Yeah.
I don't know. So,
well, anyhow, Stockton's Pub, the Golden Smog. Mm-hmm. That's one heck of a name for a pub. Is known for more than just its selection of local ales. Locals and staff have long whispered about a ghostly figure seen near the bar during closing hours. The building, once a lodging house in the 1800s, has had numerous reports of footsteps echoing through its corridors and shadowy figures appearing in the mirrors. Some claim it's the restless spirit of an old landlady who keeps watch over her establishment to this day, ensuring everything is in order.
What was that place called?
Golden Smog.
I thought that, yeah, I didn't see that part of place, so I was like, oh, cool. See, that's what we're going to do. We're going to find things that we didn't even know.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a Bagdale Hall Hotel. It says Whitby. See, I wish I knew more about, I know enough to be dangerous about England, but I know I don't know like the areas very well. So We need Tommy Collum or something, our buddy Tommy, to tell us what the heck, right? Brown Bushell, a former owner of the hotel, is said to haunt the hotel and has been seen walking up and down staircases in the hall. Guests have also heard the clatter of footsteps up and down the staircases when there has been no one there to be responsible for those sounds. One guest wrote, "We did hear footsteps or someone walking up the stairs at 3 a.m. and told our waitress in the morning when she asked how our stay was. She said there was no one there except us. There was the treasurer who worked for King Henry and was beheaded for treason and was known to walk the stairs." Ooh, that's pretty spooky, isn't it? So, yeah, so it was just the treasurer. Treasurer apparently didn't have a name or a head, but...
Here's a old standard, the Gray Lady of Ormesby Hall. Ormesby Hall, a Grand Georgian mansion just outside Middlesbrough, is not only famous for its beautiful architecture and grounds, but also for its long-standing ghost story. Many visitors have claimed to see the apparition of a Gray Lady who drifts silently through the rooms. Legend has it that the ghostly figure is the spirit of a former lady of the house. Unable to leave due to a long lost love or an unresolved tragedy, the Gray Lady is particularly active during the winter months, adding a shiver to any visit to the stately home.
What'd you say that was, Middlesbrough or whatever?
Middlesbrough.
I saw that a bunch, so I think that's like one of the main areas in this Teesside. I think if it was Teesside, it would be T-E-A for the Brits, right? I don't know. Who knows?
I'm thinking of a golfing tee.
I know, that's, yeah. yeah, right? I don't, who knows? So the Black Swan Hotel, which we have covered before, right? Or at least one called that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is in the Helmsley area. Although not much is known about the origins of the ghost at the Black Swan Hotel, it's thought that there has been resident ghosts at the hotel for many years. Staff and guests alike have reported ghostly goings on at the hotel. Sightings of an old but well-dressed gentleman and a young blonde woman have all been reported.
I was waiting for you to say hag.
Now, see, didn't we do the Black Swan before? But I think we did it. Wasn't this somewhere else?
I don't know.
Because this doesn't look like one that we've covered before, but I swear we've done a Black Swan, something or other. I don't know. We've got too many. I don't even know how many episodes we have now, but somewhere around there.
A lot.
Yeah, exactly. Enough to put Nadine 8 to Nadine 9-9, right?
No, I'm just tired.
I know.
Phantom soldiers of, let's see, Hartlepool's Hugh Battery. Coastal town of Hartlepool has its own share of paranormal activity, most notably at the Hugh Battery. This historic artillery battery, which played a crucial role in defending the town during World War I, is said to be haunted by the spirits of fallen soldiers. Visitors have reported the sound of phantom gunfire, Are you sure it was Phantom?
Mm-hmm.
Ghostly soldiers marching along the battlements. These figures are believed to be the spirits of those who perished during the German bombardment in 1914, still defending their post in the afterlife.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm sure, like with soldiers and stuff like that, I would imagine that some of them die such a quick death.
Yeah.
Like they don't even know what happened.
You think it'd be confusing?
Yeah. So then they're dead, but they don't think they're dead.
Yeah.
So then they're carrying out their life duty.
Stuck energy or residual energy, maybe. It's possible.
Yeah, I can see that happening.
Just
happened so quickly, they're just like, what?
I know.
What happened?
And I think it probably matters about like how much, if you're caught off guard and you don't really know what happens, it probably is a bit of like, what's this? What is this place? Or went into a different dimension of some kind.
Yeah.
And, if you know, like a tragic death where you know you're going to die and then you're just like on adrenaline rush and scared to death.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine I would absolutely not want to go that way.
Yeah.
You in battle, I'm sure, you know, you just never know what's going to happen. Things can happen so quickly.
Yeah. I mean, you might be just sort of chilling for the evening or maybe even on duty,
guarding a post
and where you're at. Before you know it, just boom. That's it.
Well, you see those and it's in the movies all over the place, but it really does happen. I mean, my grandfather, my father talked about, you know, where they would literally be talking to somebody and turn their head and turn back and the guy was gone. He'd be, you know, shot or his head blown off or whatever. And, that really does happen. Mm-hmm. You know, you think, oh, it's just the movies. No, it really does. Like, just as quick as it can. And it could be like at the end, you're like, oh my gosh, we did great. Or they always keep your head down. There's a reason to do that.
Yeah. Don't stand up.
Don't do it. Yeah. You're just a target. I've got Lumley Castle Hotel. It is in County Durham. Lumley Castle is supposedly haunted by the spirit of a 14th century lady of the manor, not of the night.
Ooh.
Maybe she was. Who knows? Lily Lumley. Let's not disgrace her name yet. Right? Mm-hmm. We don't even know her. We were just introduced to her, right? The castle was in the headlines for its hauntings in 2005 when some of the Australian cricket team reported strange activity and refused to sleep on their own. And in the 2000s, or later on apparently, three members of the West Indies team checked out because they were scared. What were they scared of? Scared to lose, maybe? But Lily is not the only ghost at the castle. There's also said to be a ghost known as Black Jack, which is a great name, right? Who likes to play pranks on guests. One guest said, we did hear odd noises in the night, only to be told the next day that it was the most haunted room in the hotel. Black Jack. You think he plays Black Jack? Maybe. Just likes to go by. Maybe he's a pirate.
Or maybe he'd hit you with a blackjack.
Maybe. Ooh. Yeah, that would hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah, I don't think it was hurt.
Yeah.
That's going to leave a mark.
Wow.
A death mark.
Lost souls of roseberry topping.
Oh, no, sounds delightful.
Sounds like a dessert.
Exactly, right? Yeah. Or for dessert. I should have taken you up on that ice cream, right?
Roseberry topping, a distinctive hill that dominates the Teesside skyline, is not just a place for hikers and nature lovers. It is also said to be haunted by spirits of miners. Not little children, but miners like coal mines and diamond mines and gold mines, who tragically lost their lives in a nearby ironstone mine. Visitors to the area have reported hearing faint voices and the sound of pickaxes at night. Some locals believe these are the souls of the miners still toiling away, unaware of the time that has passed.
The more I look at the word, I think you're right. It probably is Teesside. Teesside. I don't know. We're going to totally have to look that up and like get back, you know, like just so you know, maybe we'll do that in the mini, right? The Angel View Inn Let's see here. The Angel View Inn was investigated in 2005. Must have been a popular year. By a paranormal team, Otherworld Northeast. They found evidence of poltergeist activity, including cold spots, temperature changes, orbs, and balls of light. Items were also seen moving, and belongings were moved from their original positions. As for the guests, some have reported feeling as though they were not alone. Personal belongings are also said to have been moved around from place to place.
Ew.
Hmm. Yeah, that Middlesboro, that, like I said, that comes up a lot. So.
Mm-hmm. I have the cursed ship of the River Tees. Since now that you've gone back to Tees.
I don't know. I'm going to switch it back too. You know that, right? Before it's all done.
The River Tees has its own chilling tale of a cursed ship. Legend has it that a ghostly vessel covered in a thick mist can sometimes be seen floating silently along the river.
Mm.
The origins of this ship are unclear, but some say it's a ghost ship carrying the souls of sailors lost at sea. Try saying that five times fast.
Right, exactly.
Others believe it's a pirate ship, cursed to wander the waters forever. On misty nights, people have reported hearing faint cries and sound of ropes tightening.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what that sounds like. Even when no ship is visible. I can't say I've ever heard the sound of ropes tightening.
I can kind of, like, in movies, I think I have. I don't know. Or I guess, or when you're pulling somebody on the boat, you know, how it tightens and kind of just makes that, like, that's the only thing I think of.
I don't know, really.
Yeah, I can't recreate it.
Yeah.
I can only hear it in my head. Another notable location is the St. George Airport Hotel at Teesside, which is what we're going with, which is said to be haunted by the ghost of a young pilot who crashed during a single-engine approach practice in the era of the Meteor aircraft, whatever that means, ultimately crashing into the officer's mess. Ah, the mess, don't you?
What a mess.
It's a terrible way you wreck into their mess. Now part of the hotel. Staff and guests have reported eerie experiences with some cabin crew reportedly requesting to room together due to fear. You hear a lot of that, right? Like, it's too scary to be there.
Yeah.
The cricket team that was too scared to stay because I thought they were just afraid to lose, but, you know, I think they're just afraid.
Hmm.
I don't know. I don't know much about cricket.
Let's see. There's another gray lady. I don't think it has anything to do with the one I already said.
I think it has to do with the weather around there.
Yeah. Gray lady of Acklam Hall is perhaps the most compelling. Believed to be the ghost of Charlotte Hustler.
She's a hustler, baby.
Her apparition has said to be been seen on many occasions over the years. Witnesses report that she appears on one of the hall's staircases before fading away before their very eyes.
Mm-hmm.
It is said that Charlotte died during childbirth in the grade one listed building during the 1800s. Many children feared entering the building, which was previously a school. Must be why it was called the Grade 1. Having heard many ghost stories while it stood empty.
Hmm.
Interesting.
I'm going to ask if... Are we going there? Because I would love to. I'd love to be in England anyway. I think I've said that many, many times.
It'd be
throughout the course of this podcast and to our visitors, especially ones that are from across the pond. But
yeah, it'd be quite the experience. Yeah. It's a lot older than what we are here in the States.
What I refer to it with our drop for Facebook, jolly old haunted England, you know. I'll take it all, you know, warts and all, the weather and the ghosts and the history and
well, I'd like to do a tour food. Of like Jack the Ripper stuff.
I would love that too. I think it'd be really cool. It'd be
locations creepy. And
super creepy. But yeah, of course I want to see the castles. That's what I want to see.
Castles too. Yeah,
that's what Tommy told me. He's like, oh, I got a castle just down the road, up the road or wherever. Other haunted sites in the region include Middlesboro I think you say it that way. Central Library, where staff have reported mysterious hair-touching sensations and a chilling apparition captured in a photograph near the so-called ghost room on the top floor. The Crown Pub in Middlesbrough is associated with the ghost of a little girl named Maria, reportedly seen on CCTV, along with disembodied voices and ghostly and a ghostly caretaker. At Yarm Fellowship Hall, a former church, a black shadow, believed to be the ghost of a priest, now that'd be spooky, wouldn't it, has been frequently reported, and furniture has been seen moving on its own.
Wow. Well, here we have a church ghost. Over the years, there have been many strange sightings in Yarm Fellowship Hall. The primitive Methodist chapel built in 1822 and extended in 1897 to create a Baptist Methodist chapel. The hall is no longer a... stranger. It'd be fantastic if I could read words.
That's right.
To paranormal activity. Voices have been heard coming from the upstairs bedroom, and an unsettling presence has been felt on many occasion with a shadowy figure that stares through inner windows.
So I think that's that priest, right? So that's the one that I just had a little blurb, not as detailed as yours, but I think that's that black shadow that might be the priest.
People have also heard sounds of moaning and seen images of children that hide away in the darkness.
That's spooky.
And then, as you said, furniture has been seen moving all on its own, and a black shadow is frequently reported. Those who have seen it believe that the ghost is of a priest who once worked and lived in the building. So, yeah, that is a little continuation of
Father Black Shadow.
Your stuff.
Right? Oh, I like that because mine was only like a sentence. So, yeah, that's cool. I'd like to go there. I'm not so sure I want to see the Black Shadow Priest, but, you know. Confession, I bet he doesn't take confession anymore. The Thornaby Snooker Center. Now, there's nothing like snooker. You ever played snooker? We went to St. Lucia for our honeymoon. And they had pool tables and a pool hall, and in the back they had snooker tables, and they're bigger, and you play it differently.
Yeah, it's totally different.
They tried to show us how to play it, and I looked at Jenna, and I'm like, this doesn't make any sense.
Like nine bumpers or something in the middle, yeah.
And it doesn't make any sense because all you want to think about is pool, and you can't play it like pool. It's not, but it looks like, it's a pool table. No, it's a snooker table. So the Thornaby Snooker Center, like I said, I just love that word. Also, it's tapestry and snooker, right? Has also gained attention for electronic snooker counters registering scores when no one was present, suggesting invisible players. Watch out. In Redcar, Caledon Pub, there's been sights of mysterious bright lights, shadow figures, and even a video capturing a hand tapping a woman on the back. The Seton Hotel.
Excuse me.
Right, exactly. Right, yeah. Is this seat taken? The Seton. Speaking about a seat. The Seton Hotel in Seton, Carew, or something, has reported wet, sandy footprints appearing in the hallway leading from one locked door to another. That's kind of weird. That's like Scooby-Doo, right?
Yeah. Sandy footprints. That's unusual.
Wet sandy footprints, right? You don't see that every day.
This next one I have is titled Growling Man. Having been known by many names throughout its history as a public house in Middlesbrough, the building now known as Swatter's Car...
What?
Seems to be home to a rather noisy ghost. Crashes and loud bangs are frequently heard from upstairs when there is no one up there. Staff have also heard loud growls and snarling noises in their ear when they have to venture upstairs alone. Interesting. That's sort of Mine wasn't growls or snarls. It was a sigh. Mm-hmm.
But hearing, that you heard, yeah.
Hearing the sigh in my left ear when we're at Waverly Hills.
Yeah, I think so. I'd rather take the sigh.
Yeah, the sigh doesn't catch you off guard or growl. Yeah. What was that?
Aaron's mom and I, we were over in that area where the balls were moving and everything, and she and I popped in, and I kind of forget about this one, but we were in there, and we heard somebody kind of do like this, like, irritated, like, huff, like, ugh, you know, and she's like, did you hear that? And I was like, yeah, I did. And I'm like, I think we need to get out of here. So we did. Like, we didn't stay to investigate or anything, but it was one of those things, and we both heard this noise. It just sounded like somebody just not happy with us. And so we're like, okay, but it was just her and I.
Yeah.
I kind of felt like, I said, that's, there were so many things that happened that night. I tend to forget about that one, but
she was hearing a lot of stuff. She's her and Aaron heard the sigh too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it was one of those things where it was like, yeah, I heard that too. It wasn't just like, you know, Nobody else was in there, but her and I.
Yeah. Yeah. You hear that and you're just, it really catches you off guard because you're like, did I just hear what I thought I heard?
Because, and it's like, it sounds like it's coming close. Like somebody should be there making that noise.
Yeah.
It's not. And so that can't be contrived. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
I looked and looked and looked and tried to find like, okay, somebody's playing tricks on us, but it would be so elaborate the way that somebody could do that. Like,
yeah.
It'd have to be some kind of a sound system or some way to, you know, make those noises appear. And it just, there isn't anything that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when there was security people there kind of, and we never saw him, and we saw him like outside, but we didn't see him inside. And then the one guy that was just there in case we need something, and he was like, no, dude, I'm in the office or smoking on the patio, you know, that's where I'm at, you know?
Yeah. It's quite the thing.
No, it really is. So Spirit Seekers, a Middlesbrough based paranormal investigation group, offers ghost hunts across Teesside, including at Gisborough Priory, Charlton's, a former miners institute, and Memorial Hall in West Auckland, where ghostly figures, lights, and voices have been reported. The area's haunted reputation is further reported by the release of the book Haunted Teesside by author Rebecca Hall, shout out to Rebecca Hall, which details local legends and paranormal encounters.
I just found a real creepy one.
Ooh.
It's called the Peg Prowler. This water spirit is said to inhabit the River Tees. Peg, similar to the equally malignant water monster Grindylo and Nelly Longarms.
this is starting to sound really made up.
Grabs children who stand too close to the water, drags them under, and devours them. One guesses that parents who wanted to keep their kids safe on riverside walks mentioned her to stop their little ones getting too close to the water. Folklorist William Henderson described Peg Prowler as having green hair and an insatiable desire for human life.
There are some. So this one article, and we've talked about some of these ghosts, but it goes through and kind of talks about them. It's like, it talks about the different areas that are haunted. Like I said, we've mentioned some of them, but I'm trying to get to some of these ghosts. Oh, Maria, the Crown, Middlesbrough. Legend has it that the ghost of a little girl believed to be called Maria has been seen on the CCTV, I think I mentioned this, and disembodied voices are frequently heard by staff and customers. It's also believed there's a ghostly caretaker who continues to look after the building from beyond the grave. There's a ghost room in the central library, the Middlesbrough Central Library, high above Center Square on the top of the floor, the biggest library. Sits a room referred to by staff as the ghost room. Female staff members report having their hair touched when they are near the room, with one employee claiming to have captured a photograph of a chilling apparition looming towards her in the twilight. So yeah, there's the station master, and that is in Wynyard Woodland Walk, Thorpe's Thules. Is that one that you said? Cause it sounded made up. Cause it sounds made up too. I don't think, maybe that's not the one you said.
So.
That's a mountain. So what? Winyard. I see. Winyard Woodland Walk. Thorpe's Thurles. I think. I feel like I've had one too many to drink, and I haven't drank anything. Rumors of a large black cat-like beast are rife, but perhaps you should be more cautious of what you cannot see. One of the old station masters is said to roam the visitor center, which is housed in the converted station house. Legend says that he was murdered by migrant workers. Perhaps he is still seeking his vengeance.
I found a story about this genie of Biggersdale. Genie is a bad-tempered fairy who lives in Hobbs Cave, nestled in Mulgrave's Woods near Whitby. She's not too keen on visitors and casts curses on people who stop by. Legend has it that a drunk farmer from Exdell, or Eskdale,
sure.
Eskdell.
We're going to go with that. Sounds about right.
decided to pay her a visit and entered the woods on horseback, shouting her name and demanding she revealed herself. He annoyed Jeannie, so she went out to confront him. But he freaked out when she answered and began riding away. But Jeannie followed, chasing him through the woods. The farmer leapt over a stream, knowing otherworldly beings couldn't cross water, and escaped. The horse wasn't so lucky, and Jeannie cast a spell, splitting the horse in two.
Good gosh. That's a great one. Just when you think, like, hey, they're not going to get any better than this. They get better. Let's get it. Splits the horse in two. Yikes. I've got a couple more, like, happenings and spirits and whatever. There's mysterious mists in Clarendon Redcar. Bright balls of mysterious light have been captured on film at this friendly public house in Redcar, a building favored by psychic mediums in the area. There have been many reports of shadow figures. Mysterious mists have been caught on CCTV in areas of I can just say closed caption TVs, right? In areas of room where spirits have been reported and seen. There was also this video of a mysterious hand tapping a woman on the back there, which is, I can't show you guys that, but it's kind of a cool video. There's a church ghost, and that's the one we've talked about a couple times now. Yarm Fellowship Hall, Yarm. Over the years, have been many strange sightings in the building, now used as a community base for clubs and gatherings. It started life as a church. Furniture has been seen moving all on its own. Black shadow figure is frequently reported. Those who have seen it believe the ghost to be a priest that worked there. Again, don't think I want to come in close contact with him. The figure, so it says the picture is said to show a ghost at the Yarm Hall, the black figure in the mirror. And it is, like, if you look at the pictures, it's like, oh my gosh, it's like pretty terrifying. The curator, Dorman's Museum, Middlesbrough, many strange sightings have been reported by both staff and visitors at this museum. Footsteps and loud coughing have been, they're just sick. They're just ill, right? Have been heard along one of the original corridors of the building when it's empty. It is believed that these noises can be attributed to the ghost of one of the museum's first curators. He loved his job in life and is perhaps continuing his duties in death. This says alcohol and spirits, Cameron's Brewery, Hartlepool, a building with a wealth of history. Cameron's Brewery is also not short of its own supply of ghosts. Visitors have reported hearing the whines and feeling the brush of the horse that would have once delivered loads via the Silver Street entrance. Silver Street was encapsulated within the walls of the brewery during expansion many years ago.
Nice.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch. I mean, there's tons.
Oh, yeah. It just goes on and on and on. Rich in ghostly history.
Did you see the Peeping Nun? There's a peeping nun at Rushpool Hall, Saltburn, perhaps one of the strangest cases in this, like you thought your horse cut in two, this luxurious family home turned hotel is the site of a numerous witness reports surrounding a ghostly nun. Witnesses inside the building see her peering in at them from the outside of the building, but when they go to investigate, there's no one there.
Hmm.
That's really weird. And then we talked about the invisible snooker players.
I thought they'd go look and she'd be like, none of your business.
Exactly right. Did that nun just flash me? Those pretty blue eyes.
I guess there's a tale of Mother Shipton.
Mm-hmm.
These tea ciders will, or some tea ciders will be familiar with the tale of Mother Shipton. With just a 1 hour journey, many people from the area have traveled to the cave in Knaresborough, which Mother Shipton is said to have been born.
Hmm.
Born Ursula Southheel around 1488, the soothsayer and prophetess reputed to be frightful in appearance. So in other words, they're saying ugly.
Yeah. So I was like, that's a nice way of putting it, right?
Is said to have made a number of predictions associated with great disasters in Britain, the U.S., and Australia in the 17th, 18th, and 19th centuries. Today, Mother Shipton's Cave is a popular tourist destination across UK.
That's cool. This is like a really busy area though. Like very as busy. Far as like paranormal and history and all kind of creepiness. It's totally got to be on our list, right?
Mm-hmm.
This says, so I keep running across the same stories and the same tellings over and over again. So, but it's interesting. It says, this is a good way to kind of cap up some of the, or recap some of the stuff. While some of these stories are rooted in historical events or local folklore, others are supported by guest accounts and documented investigations, contributing to Teesside's enduring reputation as a hotspot for the supernatural.
You don't say.
I'd say no, I'm going to say spooky dookie. Some serious spooky dookie, right?
There is a lot happening at this place.
I would say yes. Did you have anything else?
No.
In there?
We can probably just keep going all night long. There is a lot of activity in this area. It's pretty wild.
Yeah. Definitely check it out if you haven't. And, you know, any of our England, UK listeners, I mean, some of them are like, oh, yeah, I know that place. It's, you know, it's just like when we talk about some of the places that we're familiar with, you know, it's so funny. Like, we can't get our tongue around some of these words, and they're pretty commonplace over there, I'm sure. But it's just like when we, you know, like Carmel and all that, you know, like, where the heck is that? Oh, this is a suburb of Indianapolis. Oh, okay. You know, it's a city, but it's, you know.
Okay. So this is, this area, it's quite a big area.
Oh, yeah.
It's, north of Manchester and Sheffield, goes almost all the way up to Glasgow and Edinburgh.
Oh wow!
So it's quite the area.
That's cool. So yeah, it is, and it's probably like an area that's well known, like I said, in that, and to people that are over there. That's cool though. Mm. But yeah, that's something I've never heard of it before. That doesn't mean much. There's a lot of things I haven't heard of. but yeah, this was a good pick. So Todd should be congratulated on that one, right? Mm. Not that he has great picks all the time, but this is one where it's like, yeah, when he sent this, I'm like, where the heck is this place? You know, I had to really kind of like look and figure out what in the heck I was looking into. But yeah, it just, there's a lot of good stories.
Oh, yeah. No, I just found this site that lists all the haunted areas, and it showed them on a map. That's how I could figure out where everything was at. Yeah, I mean, all these places are like the Green Dragon, Preston Hall, Hallgarth and Country Club Hotel, Thornaby Center, the Pot and Glass. Yeah, like they say, staff and visitors say that a friendly ghost is here, but not much is known about it. Darlington Civic Theater, Blackwell Grange Hotel, the Manor House Hotel, Rabbi Castle, Kipling Hall, Lumley Castle. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Angel View Inn, Ancient Unicorn Inn, Busby Stoop Inn, Souter Lighthouse.
Wow. This is just like
Newcastle Castle Keep.
Yeah.
Willington Mill. Yeah, it just goes on and on and on. Man. Yeah, if you ever want to go over to England and ghost hunt, you can probably spend 15 years over here.
Yeah, exactly right. Figure it all out. It's a lot of history and obviously a lot of activity. So, but yeah, the thing I like about when we come across places like this, I mean, there's some of the things we talk about. It's like, oh, yeah, I've heard of it. Yeah, well, it's kind of interesting. Oh, my gosh, I didn't know about this and that and the other. But when we, these are like ones that I guarantee you there's a fair amount of people out there mm-hmm. who'd be like, I've never heard of that before. I mean, it took us, you know, an entire episode to figure out how to even say it. And I'm still not convinced that we know.
I still don't think we say it right.
I'm totally going to look it up though. I guarantee I am. But yeah, so that was a good discussion and we're mm-hmm. going, we need to go.
Oh, yeah.
We might have to swim a little bit, but we'll, we'll get there. Right?
It's doable.
Shark infested waters at some point probably. But, all right. So we're moving out of the discussion. And like I said, thank you, Todd. That was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? You think I'm picking middle-aged moment, middle-aged dark side, something completely different?
Last week was a dark side-ish.
Okay.
So I will go with a middle-aged moment.
I think I'm going to call this a middle-aged moment. And this is courtesy of Pete Peterson. He reached out and he's like, hey, listen to this song. This is a good song. It's from 2019. I have never heard it before. Rob Thomas. So Matchbox 20 lead mm-hmm. singer, right? Still out there doing cool stuff. This is One Less Day. It's One Less Day and the full title is called Dying Young. But I liked it. He's like, yeah, listen to this. I was like, it's a good song. So I'm like, I'm going to totally use that as my middle-aged moment.
There you go.
It says, and I told him, I said, after you read the, or after I read this and, you know, kind of say the lyrics, I think this is a really nice way to say, hey, you're middle-aged. This is what I got out of it. And I told him, I'm like, he's like, yeah, that's true. I'm not afraid of getting older. I'm one less day from dying young. I see the light go past my shoulder. Excuse me. I'm one less day from dying young. I see my life like a train with a one-way track. I've made mistakes and I couldn't take them back. And I've been running around in circles till I'm dizzy. I can't lie. But every night I go to sleep a day that I survive. I'm not afraid of getting older. I'm one less day from dying young. I see the light go past my shoulder. I'm one less day from dying young. And I've seen my friends fall away before their time. And I've been afraid that I may follow in their light. So I drink and love and whisper all the things I know are right. Someday I will leave this world, but maybe not tonight. I'm not afraid of getting older. I'm one less day from dying young. And I see the light go past my shoulder. I'm one less day from dying young. I'm one less day from dying young. Yeah. All my life, I've been wondering, burning my candle like my time just won't end. And I'll keep burning till there's nothing left, praying that tomorrow I'll do it all again. And if I get tomorrow, I'll do it all again. I'm not afraid of getting older. I'm one less day from dying young. And I see the light go past my shoulder. I'm one less day from dying young. I'm not afraid of getting older. I'm one less day from dying young. I see the light go past my shoulder. I'm one less day from dying young. And goes on and on a little bit further. But good song. Yeah. You know, but like I said, isn't that just like a really intricate way of saying mm-hmm. you're middle-aged?
Yep.
Creeping into some older age.
You're getting older.
You're getting older there. Fun. Lots of fun. My grandmother, I think I probably said this on this podcast, used to say the only gold in your golden years is in your urine.
Yeah.
I tell that to patients and they just laugh and they're like, she's right, it's not funny. Even she's, yeah, it's funny. Funny not funny, right?
Nah.
All right, so coming out of that, did you have any shout outs?
Going to the shout outs.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not see. Shout outs.
There's no shout outs at this.
Shout out to family and everybody for having a wonderful Thanksgiving. Yeah,
Turkey
and,
Day, that's right.
Yeah. Shout out to my oldest son's girlfriend, Abby, for turning 21 on Monday.
Nice. Very good.
So, yeah.
That's good for her.
Mm-hmm.
Did she have a nice time?
Yeah.
Nice. Good.
Yep.
21's normally pretty memorable.
Yeah.
And if you don't remember it, it was a really good one, right? I'm not advocating for anything out there, right? Well, very good. Did you have any others?
Nope. Nothing's coming to my mind.
Okay. I'm just going to shout out to the Creepies. Hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving. Shout out to our brother, Todd. I hope he feels better. We miss you here, of course. And not the same without you, but, you know, I said we'll do our best and, you know, make you proud. So hopefully we've done that. He'll be like,
trying.
It's test side. Or it's something completely different. Tesside. There's two E's, two S's, a couple D's in there.
It's spelt Tesside.
No, there's three E's, right?
It's,
no.
It's pronounced George.
It's exactly right. That's right. Yeah. You guys, did you watch? We're totally checking up on that, right? All right. Well, that's the shout outs. We'll go right into our sponsor.
Hey, Creepies. Do you like all things spooky? Do you love the fall season? Do you wish it could be Halloween all year long? Well, at Greenwood Happy Haunts, it is. Greenwood Happy Haunts is a year-round Halloween and fall store located at 248 Marka Plaza in Greenwood, Indiana. Custom vintage and unique items adorn the whole store. If you're looking for a unique gift for you or someone else, or just want to visit a place that puts a smile on your face, Greenwood Happy Haunts is for you. Mako listeners can get 10% off a single item when you mention this ad. Come to Greenwood Happy Haunts and get your spook on. Happy hauntings.
Thank you, Greenwood Happy Haunts, and Scott and Corey. We appreciate you. And, of course, what do we say about them, Nate?
Oh, they're fantastic people.
That sounded a little forced. We love them. We always
we do.
And we always will.
Yep, they're great.
And we appreciate them.
Sometimes.
So go get you some, go get you some Greenwood Happy Haunts, right? Don't you turn on me now.
They're awesome. Go support them.
Yes, absolutely.
They're a local business here in South Indianapolis in Greenwood.
Greenwood, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, and we did figure out sort of, okay, so we tried to do a little bit, and I think we know about as much as we did before. So, Nate, you said it's Tesside?
Tysed.
Tysed. See, I still got it wrong. So, okay, yeah. And then, but we looked at videos, and it's still... People still say it T-side. And so it's like, I don't know.
Who knows?
So I'm not even going to try to say it your way because it's going to confuse me too much.
Tessade.
So, Tessade. T-S. Have we done that before? We just shortened things. Uh-huh. Like, it is what it is. So you have the second announcements for us?
Yes, I do. Follow us on our social media accounts, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, X. Email us at makopodcast@gmail.com. That's with two A's. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Give us a 5-star rating because that's all that you are allowed to give us.
That's right.
And leave a review if the app allows. If not, then... get in contact with them, tell them that you want to leave a review, they need to change their programming.
I demand it.
Whether you are a business or an individual and you want to be a show sponsor, email or message us on Facebook or Instagram. And we sell all kinds of awesome merch, so go get you some.
That's right.
So yeah.
Let it be written, let it be done, is that what you're saying?
Sure.
That's right. Gavel. Oh. Ooh, excuse you. That sounded like a phone noise, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and so from that, how are you going to take us out of here?
Whatever it's called. We got it done.
I don't think so. Todd being here, I'm thinking he would have been the same way, like, oh my goodness sakes, there's about 52
different... Tesside, T-side, Tysed.
It's 52 different ways to say it.
Oh. Pick your poison. That's
just
a wrap.
Just don't pick your nose, right? Thanks, Nate. I appreciate that, man. And we want to thank you, Creepies, for listening to episode 244 and our discussion on haunted Tessa. So until next time, Nate is your tech engineer. We are your hosts, Sean and Todd, and we are middle-aged
and creeped out.
Keep it creepy.